Welcome back to Between Two Wings. I am your host, Emily Norman, and today we have Jen Pierce, who is an air traffic controller at Houston Center. Jen, thank you so much for coming on Between Two Wings today.
You're absolutely welcome. Thanks for asking me.
Of course. Always love to talk to controllers, especially outside the cockpit when there is no comms strike going on. So this is amazing for me. So we like to start off each episode by just kind of explaining where we're at virtually. I thought this photo would be very appropriate because it is me pretending to do your job at the Oshkosh Tower. The airfield is actually closed. The air show is about to start. But tell us a little bit about your background. It's a little more interesting.
So my background is a B-17 bomber. My grandfather was a B-17 pilot in World War II. So I've always been obsessed with World War II history and because of him. And I've been obsessed with aviation because of him and his story and how he survived being shot down over Germany on his third bomb mission and was a prisoner of war for 9 months until the end of the war. So his perseverance and how he survived really helped me in a lot of ways and still does to this day and helped me get into air traffic, actually. So,
yeah. So tell us a little bit about that. Like, why did you pick to be an air traffic controller?
Well, I mean, I originally wanted to be a pilot, but I was told, one, you have to be really good at math, which I just did the bare minimum in school to get by. And math was never a strong subject for me, I'll be honest. And two, I had looked at Embry-Riddle to go to school there, and the tuition was outrageous. And I said, there's no way. Like, I don't want to go that much in debt just to be a pilot making what most first officers make. You know, it just didn't make sense to me. And I just lucked out, and an air traffic program started in my hometown. And my mom told me about it because she was a high school counselor and had heard about it. And I quit going to my university. I was 7 classes away from my bachelor's degree in business. And I pursued that program. And 4 years of applying with the FAA, 11 applications later, I finally got hired when I was 30. So, I mean, there's a lot more to the story, obviously, but that's essentially how I got into air traffic. It's just kind of, in a way, kind of fell in my lap. And I just knew from the moment I heard about the program that I was meant to be an air traffic controller. So,
yeah, definitely found your calling. And yes, just from your online personality and your involvement in all these groups, it seems like you do a really great job at it as well. So I'm sure you've seen a lot of what it takes to be a good controller. Is there anything you can tell us about on that?
Sure. Yeah. I thought about this a lot, actually. A lot of it has to do with being decisive and not second guessing yourself. And, you know, you kind of learn that in training, and because a lot of trainees do second guess themselves. I know I did. And you just have to learn to get over that and be decisive and make a decision. And if it doesn't work, you have to move on to plan B. If plan B doesn't work, you got to move on to plan C. You got to be able to multitask. I know, like, you technically can't fully multitask, but we are literally, like, I'm talking to an airplane. I'm hearing my coworker behind me say, hey, give that Delta's direct Strea or direct Meridian. And I'm doing that. And that's, I know that's my next step. Being able to handle an immense amount of pressure and criticism, especially in training, it gets better once you're done with training and you certify and you get comfortable with your abilities and, like, okay, I'm comfortable doing this. Now I'm going to push the limits and go here. And then, you keep pushing yourself, at least most of us do. I know I do, to work a very safe, but a very efficient sector. And I want you to get from here to here as quickly as possible, because the quicker you're off my frequency, the more I can do just with other aircraft. And probably the best thing is just to have really good humor and humility. You know what I mean? The sarcasm. Because I swear, the more sarcastic a controller is, the better they are controlling aircraft. I don't know why there's that correlation, but it's so true.
So, there you go. Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure being a controller is kind of, you know, hardwired your brain a certain way. Do you think being a controller affects your life outside of work and just your personality and how you do things?
Definitely. I think it has helped me a lot outside of work. You know, air traffic is very black and white, and there is a little bit of gray area, but you quickly try to fix that gray area to where I know what this plane is doing. So you have to constantly adjust at work every time we plug in, you know, it's never the same day twice, but it's the same call signs, it's the same phraseology. And it's, mm-hmm. and that has translated into my life where I used to get bent out of shape when something wouldn't go my way or like plans would fall through. And now I'm just like, I'm going to roll with the punches and, you know, adjust when I got to adjust and keep it moving. So I think that's been the best helper or the best aspect of the change in my personal life. So if anything, I'm like way too organized and maybe a little too OCD, and work has helped. I don't know if that is a help or not, but.
Yeah, I can imagine it allows you to be able to be flexible, but also a really good problem solver at the same time.
Yes. That's like being able to analyze a lot of information and solve problems like very quickly, because those planes are flying very quickly, especially with 150 knot tailwinds. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't even try to start to analyze what you do and attempt to learn that process. I'll stick to the cockpit side and just have you help me in the skies.
Okay.
At least to, you know, pilots and air traffic control, we're all one team. We're trying to make flying safer and easier for all and just overall more enjoyable. There's always some common misconceptions and opinions on both sides. So what are some things that you wish pilots knew about controllers or just the whole ATC process?
I think the biggest thing for me is pilots might get frustrated with us if we don't answer them right away. It's honestly the biggest thing is knowing that we've got so much going on. I say behind the scenes or behind the mic. Of course, on weather days is when we have a lot of coordination going on. Like I can have two different controllers call me, which I'm automatically go into my earpiece and my mic is already like hot when they call me. And then I have a pilot calling me too, and that comes through the speaker. So it's like three different things going on at once. And I have to like, okay, I know that Delta checked in at 36,000 feet. I took the handoff on him. Somebody else checked in. What does this controller want? So that, you know, it's just a lot of moving parts. So just be patient and understand that like when we say we're on the landline, that 93% of the time we were on the landline.
Yeah.
Seriously, I'm dead serious. I wish more pilots would come in and take tours when we can give tours. We can't now because of COVID, but it's just such an eye-opening experience, you know. And it would be the same for us, like controllers flying in the jump seat. So to get in that perspective of like, oh, wow, like this is what's really going on up here. So,
yeah, for sure. Well, when able, I am going to hit you up for one of those tours.
I would love to share
experience.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And so I know another thing is obviously pilots have comms fright. It's a big thing with training. It's something I'm personally going through as well. But we don't think about sometimes is controllers go through the same process.
Right.
Do you think there's any like similarities there or things you think that could help both sides improve and get over this kind of silly fear at times?
Right. Honestly, there's so much similarity, with pilot training and air traffic training. It's a lot of the same stressors and, you know, like maybe being afraid to talk on the frequency, you know, and, you know, as a controller, you have to have a dominant voice to control, not voice, but a dominant demeanor to control the sector or the situation. And as a pilot, like you don't want to sound timid, but honestly, the best way to do this, and this is how I approach training, as uncomfortable as it was to just dive in head first, sound like an idiot, make my mistakes. And then next thing I know, I'm better and I sound better. And I'm able to build on that like building block of like, okay, I started here. I sounded like this, but like 2 weeks later, I'm here. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's just my advice is just sound ridiculous. Sound like a hot mess on the frequency and you'll get better. Trust me. So, and if we hear that as a controller, then we know like, oh, they're training.
Yeah.
We've all been there, you know, everybody gets bent out of shape. And I'm like, well, we've all been a trainee at some point. We've all sounded ridiculous at some point. So like have a little give, you know, so.
Definitely. You have to drink from the fire hose sometimes. And in aviation, it seems like that saying is passed around a lot.
That's exactly what ATC training is like. It's trying to drink from a fire hose and it feels like you're never going to survive. And then one day you're certified and you're like, oh my gosh, I did it. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Jen, thank you so much for taking the time to come on Between Two Wings today. It's been
such a
pleasure. And I hopefully will get to hear you on Frequency sometime. I'll probably be that timid pilot, but you know, one day I'll be a little more confident. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
And everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Between Two Wings. I hope to see you next time.